Radio Club. IDXers, welcome to Market Scope for May 2011, featuring a new market and a new guest host. In fact, Chris does such a great introduction, I'm just going to let him take it away.
This is Chris Gay in Lexington, Kentucky. Welcome to the Bluegrass. This is a Market Scope of the AM band here in Lexington. We begin at 550 on the dial, WKRC in Cincinnati, a talk station. U4, 5,000 watts days, 1,000 watts at night.
And that light snow chance will end in the morning. Remember, snow's an opportunity to snuggle, though, because it's cold out, so it makes it worth it. 44 for a high tomorrow, 43 now, 55 KRC, the talk station.
This report a service of Frisch's. It's famous. It's award-winning. It's the one and only Frisch's pumpkin pie. Pick up a whole pie today.
471 now looks good. Northbound 75 not far behind. Southbound 75 still trying to recover from the earlier accident at the lateral and is heavy from in front of GE. Chuck Ingram with traffic. 55 KRC, we have you covered.
55 KRC, money update, mornings and afternoons on 55 KRC, the talk station.
Wall Street is aiming for an upbeat opening. That is despite a stronger than expected surge.
Did talk radio really make you more intelligent and informed? Would Donald Trump make a bad hairdresser?
Here, what do you think? Oh, my God, Donald, what have you done?
He looks great, doesn't he?
You've thinned all of his hair. He looks like you.
55 KRC, the talk station. 15 minutes or more a day will make you a smarter person.
I'm sorry, Donald.
And better looking.
You're fired.
Huh? What do you mean?
Glenn Beck listeners, Forbes magazine says now, even in this... Exclusions to license numbers.
This radio program is the Straight Talk Express.
Rush.
I will not be silenced. I'm not going to be intimidated.
Weekdays at noon.
I will not be.
I will not be.
55 KRC, the talk station.
It's just that simple.
Here's your at-home tip for today. I'm Gary Sullivan. Online.com.
Get help for your home from Gary Sullivan, Saturday and Sunday at 9 a.m. and at 55KRC.com.
Search
Home Improvement from 55KRC, the talk station.
55WKRC, Cincinnati. Now, a 30:30 Fox News update on 55KRC, the talk station.
Fox News Radio, I'm Dave Anthony. They diffused it with not a lot of... One, both planning to take over. Fox News Radio. Barrett.
Skyline Chili's Extreme Habanero Cheese is only available for a limited time. Get it while it's hot.
Now, the latest local news from Fox 19 on 55 KRC, the talk station.
This is Rob Williams from Fox 19 with your 55 KRC News update. Police looking for a man who's accused of shooting his girlfriend in Roselawn. It happened last...
Up next at 590 is WVLK in Lexington, a news talk station. U4, 5,000 watts days, 1,000 watts at night. The beginning of this recording is from the Lexington Morning News with Jack Patty, who recently celebrated 35 years in broadcasting.
You work your way in along Alumni, coming up Shinaway toward Tates Creek. From the Greaves Toyota Lexington Traffic Center, Brad Munson, News Talk 590 WVLK. 12 away from 7, top of the hour, an update from ABC and the Information Center. What you got, Scott?
Jack, these stories making Lexington's morning news on News Talk 590 WVLK. Fire destroys a barn in Shelby County this morning. Big recall from Nissan.
I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News. Holiday spending could be up this year. We've got the numbers. Also, President Obama meets with the Americans who played a crucial role in the Chilean mine escape. Details coming up.
That and more. At 7. News at the top and bottom of the hour. Breaking news instantly. Depend on Lexington's news, weather, and traffic leader. News Talk 590 WVLK.
590 WVLK. Bilmec 3-day forecast at 11 away from 7. Time to get the highest price for your scrap gold at the Castle. Discounters of diamonds and fine jewelry. And it goes like this. Becoming partly sunny, a high temperature in the upper 50s today. Tonight, clear frost possible. Low racing events. Just visit Keeneland.com. It's time for Keeneland. Don't let time run out.
What happens next happens here. News Talk 590 WVLK. Depend on it.
News Talk 590 WVLK. 6 minutes now before 7 o'clock. Time for Earl Pitt's American.
You know what makes me sick? You know what makes me so mad? It's about a lick of slime off a slug. It's getting a little desperate. A little dirty out there.
Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
News Talk 590 WVLK, Lexington. It's 7 o'clock.
ABC News.
590 WVLK News continues at 7:02. Good morning. I'm Scott Johnson. Here's what's happening. Fire destroyed a barn in Shelby County early this morning, causing thousands of dollars in damage.
A huge barn has been flattened. It's a pretty large fire, and it's destroyed everything inside.
Information for better health.
Listen to News Talk 590 WVLK live anywhere, anytime at WVLKAM.com.
Next at 6:30 is WLAP in Lexington, a News Talk station. U3, 5,000 watts during the day and 1,000 watts at night.
At Farmers.com, we are insurance.
We are Farmers.
Coverage not available in all areas.
Broadcasting from the Back Construction Studios. Thanks for listening to 6:30 WLAP Lexington and WLAP.com. It's 9 o'clock.
Fox News Radio, I'm Dave Anthony. He sold
a Senate campaign trying to distance itself from a supporter caught on video in a widely viewed altercation with a liberal activist, but it's keeping his money. I'm Ted Werben in the News Radio 630 WLAP 24-hour Fox News Center. Depend on it.
Californian Ralph Alvarado may have done well in med school, but not so well.
For today, partly sunny and cooler, highs only in the upper 50s. For tonight, watch out for some patchy frost. Those temperatures plummet to lower 30s by early tomorrow morning. For your official weather station, News Radio 630 WLAP, I'm meteorologist Todd Boris.
PaulMillerOnline.com.
Paul Miller.
Point.
Click.
Drive.
I can sit here
weekdays at noon
and accuse the president of single-handedly wanting to destroy the country, and that's fine.
Rush Limbaugh.
But when I call him a jackass, somehow I've crossed an invisible line.
On News Radio 630 WLAP.
I'm Senator Alice Forgy Kerr. This fall, we visited at the...
Your time is now at Spencerian College. Get a new career in the medical or technical fields with Spencerian Streamline Training. Financial aid is available for qualifying students of any age. Classes start soon, so call 223-9608 or visit Spencerian.edu.
This is News Radio 630 WLAP.
Today, the resistance stands strong.
Next up is a station you've probably heard of. At 700 WLW in Cincinnati, a news talk station. U1, 50,000 watts.
It's news time here on the home of the best Bengals coverage, 700 WLW.
Clearing the way for gays to serve in the U.S. military. Back at it at Cincinnati City Hall this morning. Two more positive reports on the economy.
News on demand. Plus the latest Fox 19 storm tracker forecast in 60 seconds on News Radio 700 WLW.
333 Seat is your source for stupid, cheap Bengals, Rodgers, Browns, James Taylor, Kid Rock, Derby, Tennis. Call 333 Seat. That's 333-SEAT.
A 700 WLW van wants to say Merry Christmas to BP. It's preferred Philip, and BP wants difference for free. Right now at vehicleinfo.com.
Weather and traffic for December 22nd, 2010. News Radio 700 WLW, Cincinnati.
Ending the don't ask, don't tell policy in the military. This is continuing in-depth team coverage from News Radio 700 WLW. With the 11 o'clock report, I'm Bill Banger.
Now it is my honor to sign this bill into law.
No one cared that he was gay. And I think that sums up perfectly the situation.
The bill doesn't take effect immediately. It still has to be implemented by service chiefs. In-depth team coverage on demand at 700WLW.com. 700WLW has more frequent traffic and weather updates. Heard every 10 minutes on the 10s, mornings and afternoons. Right now, Artemis has no major backups or accidents to tell you about. Fox 19 Storm Tracker forecast from meteorologist Katie Morgan. Mostly cloudy today. Some scattered snow flurries from time to time. The high 35. Cloudy tonight, the low 23. Mostly cloudy tomorrow with a high of 32. It is 30 degrees of News Radio 700 WLW. News is a service of Mercy Health Partners. Police in Norwood are searching for suspects in the holdup of the Domino's Pizza late last night. Happened around 11. Also getting the latest this morning on the economy as a whole, as the government says gross domestic product increased at a 2.6 annual rate in the quarter that ended in September. That's up slightly from previous estimates. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 8 points and NASDAQ is up 1. The forecast is next. 700 WLW News Time is 11:04. Happy holidays from everyone at Goodwill.
The next station is the first daytimer we come to. At 770, WCGW in Nicholasville, Kentucky. With gospel music, D1, 1,000 watts, daytime only.
WCGW Nicholasville, a Christian Broadcasting System station.
7:70 a.m., 9 a.m., 41, home of the Oldie Show.
That's right, coming up this Saturday, 10 to 1, from Hardy's VP, featuring music from the Bishops this coming weekend. That ought to be good stuff for you. On the way, it's going to be Heaven's Highway, also Faith 3. We've got the Freemans and Chris Hester, and the old Trailblazer coming your way, too, here on 770.
770
7:70 a.m., 9:03, Heaven's Highway.
Now, Ronnie, we got Faith 3 now and King's Highway. Speaking of highways, on 7:70 a.m., Southern Gospel.
Faith 3.
And it's called King's Highway there on 770 AM Southern Gospel. And the Gaither Homecoming Christmas Tour is coming to Freedom Hall in Louisville on Saturday, December the 11th at 770 AM. Wants to help get you in the Christmas spirit, and we're doing that by giving you chances to win family four packs of tickets to that concert. Need to stop by Lifeway Christian Stores behind Fayette Mall all this week and look for the red and green box with the 770 AM logo. And enter to win. And winner's going to be drawn this coming Saturday, November 20th, during a live broadcast from noon to 4 at Lifeway. From 2 to 4 at Lifeway. The Gaither Homecoming Christmas Tour. An early Christmas gift from your friends at 770 AM Southern Gospel. And we've got Bruce coming your way at 2 o'clock, an extremely early Christmas gift. And the Trailblazer coming your way here in just a bit here on 770 AM. Have a great day. Freeman's music for you now. And Deep Well on 770 AM
Southern Gospel.
Our first Louisville station is up next at 790 WKRD with sports. U4, 5,000 watts during the day, 1,000 watts at night.
Dennis's Diamonds, Shelbyville Road Plaza, and when you get there, say, hey, they were talking about you in the early birds. Sports Radio 790-1017. Cruise is coming up next with the coaches, Joe B. and Denny.
Products may vary, available from opening to 11 a.m. at participating restaurants.
The Jovi and Denny Show. Weekday mornings at 10 on Cards Radio. WKRD Louisville. WKRD FM Shelbyville Louisville.
Tired old jewelry retailing and discover Genesis Diamonds. Now open in Shelbyville Road Plaza.
Cards Radio 790 and 1017, Louisville's only sports station.
Scented candles light the mantle. Coffee brewing in the kitchen.
901-2260. 1-800-901-2260.
Thanks for listening to Louisville's only sports station. Cards Radio 790 and 1017.
We stay in Louisville for our next station at 840 WHAS, News Talk Station, U1, 50,000 watts.
I appreciate the perspective very much. It might bring my blood pressure down a skosh. Over the break, we got news, traffic, and weather. More of your phone calls coming up next on 84 WHAS.
your holidays with an LG washer or dryer for $599 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only, limit one pair per customer. See store for details.
Get news on demand at WHAS.com. And right now at News Radio 84, WHAS, Louisville.
Fox News Radio. Ben burst into flames. The driver of the SUV may have been on the wrong side of the road. Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
Sam Swope Auto Group. Over 40 acres of vehicles, and you can see them all at samswope.com.
In-depth team coverage continues on News Radio 84 WHAS.
Good morning. It's 11:03. I'm Mindy Peterson, News Radio 84 WHAS. Churchill Downs is getting ready for its first night of fall racing. The track will be mad about Plaid Friday.
We don't know how it's going to go over. You know, it's not that hot time, you know, summer months type atmosphere. So it really is somewhat of a market test.
But spokesman Darren Rogers says they're expecting a crowd of around 25,000. Gates open at 3 o'clock Friday afternoon. The first race will be at 4:30. The final race is just after 9:30 tomorrow night.
Kentucky Powerball, Skywatch 84, WHAS.
Metro Police dealing with one trouble spot right now. That's Gene Snyder northbound on the ramp to 64 eastbound. It's an overturned vehicle, so expect some delays in that area. Get traffic and weather on the 4s every weekday morning. Morning on 84 WHAS. I'm Simon Kay in the Total Traffic Center.
A supervisor at a Kentucky prison has been charged with...
And that wraps up Market Scope until next month, when we continue onward in Lexington. Thanks, Chris, for a great job. If you'd like to profile your radio market, send tapes or discs to me, Phil Wayne, at 313 Spring Street, Upper Sandusky, Ohio, 43351, 1652. I and the membership would be grateful for your help. Now here are the musings from the members.
This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors. Members may muse by calling the Action Line 24 hours a day.
Hi, this is John Jim in Delmar Heights. Just for curiosity, if anybody knows anything about when the DX Audio Service convention will be held this year, August or September, please just remember, make sure that all the members know. Here we did. We are in April, and nothing has been mentioned about the DX Audio Service Convention.
This is Tim Hendel. Fred, I, for one, would like to hear that long story, as you put it on the April edition. How did you get into radio in 1968, and what was the other thing that you had planned to do? I would also enjoy hearing some Where Are They Now? Bob Walker, Jerry Starr. There was a nice lady from Albany whose name I can't remember, and some of the other earlier volunteers who put the DX Audio Service together. Where are they now?
Hi, this is Connie Diaz calling from Omaha, Nebraska. I have a question or two about the NBC radio, or the radio strike that hit all the radio and TV that happened. And I would like to know, when did this happen? I heard Frank Burkholzer and all the noise that was going on in the background. And how long did this strike last? Thank you for, if you would please answer the questions. I'd surely appreciate it.
This is Rusty Curry in Eugene, Oregon. One thing I've often wondered about, and that's back when they did the moon landings, how did they handle communication, radio communication between the moon and NASA? What spectrum did they use? Did they use AM, FM, and sideband? What kind of power did they use going both directions? I would assume that they probably used the orbiting craft as a repeater booster, and so I'm wondering what kind of antenna maybe did they use? Also, one thing I really enjoy is the daytime band scans. One thing I'm wondering also is, about how sensitive is that antenna compared to a Kiowa Air Corps loop? One scan I'd really like to hear done is in the Oregon High Desert between Bend and Boise, possibly around Burns. And I've never been to that area except just to fly over it. But I've heard that the propagation, the daytime propagation, is really good there. That's all for now. 73s, everyone.
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Well, yesterday morning, April 13th, at 5:30 a.m., 1050 Chum made the switch to being an all-sports radio station again. Did it very nicely. And Telemedia Sports Network will now be airing on the radio as well as TV. CKGL in Kitchener 570 has had a very nice upgrading on their transmitter. They get in much clearer here now. They used to have sort of a sideband sounding signal. The last couple of weekends on 1010 under CFRB Toronto, I heard what sounded like might have been black gospel music, but I couldn't get an ID on it. And I don't think it would have been WINS in New York because they're a news station now. They usually would come up under CFRB at a time. Also, I've heard something coming up under WLW in Cincinnati at night sometimes on 700, and I don't know yet what it would be. Grundig has come out with another new radio, a Grundig G6. A friend of mine in Regina, Saskatchewan has one, and he is really head over heels with it, so I'll have to check that out.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. Now let's answer some questions, starting off with John German's question about the convention. But first, I got to ask everyone a question. Do you remember a few years ago when I asked everyone, are you a member or are you just a subscriber? Meaning, are you just listening to the magazine for its entertainment value or are you actively participating? Here's why. This memo came to me from Wayne Heinen, who is the chairman of the board for the National Radio Club, dated April 20th, 2011. To the members of the National Radio Club, DX News, the DX Audio Service, or edxn.com. Unless someone steps forward very soon, it would appear that we will not be having a convention, joint with the WTFDA or otherwise. If no one comes forth by May 27th, 2011, that's the publisher's deadline for DX News Magazine, we will have to forego a National Radio Club convention for 2011. Now, this would be the first time since World War II that we have had no volunteers to actively organize and host the affair. Some longtime members have considered it, but in some cases, due to both prior commitments and or health issues, they've been unable to commit to the tasks. That's signed Wayne Heinen, chairman of the board for the National Radio Club. And again, I have to ask, are you a member or are you a subscriber? Keep in mind, we've had to do away with All Radio Magazine, some columns on the DX Audio Service, and even stopped bringing WNRC to the convention, all because we don't have people willing to help out in the club. And that's basically what we are, is a club that's supported by members. So keep in mind this when you're thinking about the convention this year. We could use some help. Now here's another memo from Wayne Heinen, chairman of the board for the National Radio Club. He writes, it has been suggested that a survey of the membership of the National Radio Club be undertaken to determine what changes to DX News, the DX Audio Service, and the club in general might be desired by the membership. The National Radio Club's board of directors and publishers will be compiling questions and making suggestions to be issued with a survey and will, of course, entertain any additional suggestions and or comments from the membership. The board is looking to have this survey ready for release with the September issue of DX News Magazine and the DX Audio Service. Anyone interested in contributing ideas for the survey, please send them to me at the board chairman's email address, and that is amradiolog@nrcdxas.org, and they will be forwarded to the survey committee. Signed, Wayne Heinen. And I just want to make a quick note for those of you who do not have email. If you want to call the National Radio Club DX Audio Service Musings line, and that telephone number is area code 419-741-0205. I'll make sure that any calls about the survey, questions, suggestions, etc., be forwarded on to Wayne Heinen. Now here is Mark.
Mark Dernberger in the Musings control room to answer or try to answer Rusty Curry's question about the antenna that we're using for our daytime band scan. The biggest difference between the antenna we use and the Kiwa AirCore loop, or for that matter any loop, is that our antenna is completely non-directional. The big advantage of a loop is that you can make it directional, nulling out things from the sides in favor of what's coming in on the ends of the loop. So we use the Kiwa AirCore loop, or any other loop for that matter, when we're looking for a specific station and trying to beat down the noise and interference around it. But the antenna we're using is designed to simulate what you would hear on a car radio if you were parked at the locations we generally select. In other words, it will pick up things from all around, not just in a specific direction. As for comparing the performance of the two, that's really hard to do because they have different amplifiers. But I guess if I were looking for a specific station 150 miles away, I would expect the same performance from the Kiwa loop as I would get from the monopole, we call it, the non-directional antenna. The big difference, of course, being that the Kiwa loop will tend to reject interference from the sides, and so in a congested situation, the loop would do a better job. As for getting up to Oregon, I would love to do that, but we owe it to our brethren and sister in the eastern states to first spend some time heading in that direction toward the right coast. But we'll get there, and we will report. Rusty, thanks for your comments.
Thanks, Mark. And to answer Connie's question, we have to place a call to an old friend.
Well, Connie, I can fill in some of the gaps about the strike against the National Broadcasting Company in 1976. That was by the National Association of Broadcast Engineers and Technicians. They called themselves NABET. And I was personally involved in two ways. That year, I was working for the RCA Corporation, and of course, they owned NBC Radio and Television. And my work at the research center in Princeton, New Jersey, gave me access to many engineering employees who possessed all the licenses that the FCC awarded in those days, including the first-class radio telephone license, which was crucial to NBC's needs because they needed people who would be controlling and operating their broadcast transmitters all over the country. And happily, I even held such a license. Now, it was early in 1976 when the human relations people at NBC in New York called me in Princeton, and they reported their fear that NABET, the engineers at NBC, might go on strike later in the year. And they asked me to send them a list of our research employees in Princeton who held such licenses and would be willing to fill in for striking engineers. The excitement of breaking away from the usual routine of inventing new devices for RCA and maybe going on the air, that seemed to overcome the hesitation of crossing a picket line for most of my associates. And then came March 31st, 1976. That was a Wednesday night, I remember very clearly. I had been moonlighting weekends, hosting a weekend morning show on a radio station near Trenton, New Jersey. It was affiliated with ABC, so yes, I had to use an assumed name. But it turns out all the announcers were instructed to put an April Fool's program together on a tape for use by the weekday morning man on Thursday, April 1st. And frankly, my wife and I were having so much fun with that, we overlooked the fact that the next day might just be very busy for me, particularly if the NABET engineers walked out at NBC. And we got to bed around 2 o'clock in the morning. And sure enough, 6 a.m. on April 1st, 1976, my phone rang. It was NBC Human Relations saying, "John, the strike is on. You said you wanted to work on the radio side, not television. So you are assigned to Washington, WRC, and you must be there by noon today." Well, I grabbed my license off the wall, kissed my wife goodbye, and in 15 minutes I was out on Interstate 95 for the four-hour drive into downtown Washington, D.C. In fact, I arrived at 11:30 in their WRC studios. The chief engineer was so glad to see me, he almost kissed me, too. Anyway, he checked me out on the control console, and then he left. I had learned enough of their format from listening for the past 25 minutes or so, driving into the city, that I could fake what needed to be done. Well, the slide controls on the control panel at WRC were labeled Studio 1, Studio 2, Network Feed, and Network. Now, that's something I'd never done before, was to feed audio into any network, but the program log said at 12 noon, feed NBC from 12 to 12.03, and then from 12.04 to 12.04.30. In between, I was to play a tape-recorded commercial. That's between 12.03 and 12.04. It all made sense, and simple enough if I could just stop shaking. 3 or 4 minutes before 12, the light went on in the studio straight ahead of me, and an announcer walked in, a vaguely familiar face, I guess. He sat down, looked at me, and over the intercom he said, "You're new here." I looked up and said, "Yes, sir." "You look nervous to me." And I said, "I am nervous." Well, he said, "Don't look nervous, because that makes me nervous." And that, Connie, was my total conversation I ever had with David Brinkley. It all went fine after that. Just before 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the chief engineer at WRC came back into the control room and said he'd have to take over, that there was a phone call in his office for me. It turned out that one of the engineers at the RCA Research Center hadn't told me that he refused to fly in an airplane, so they had to change his assignment from San Francisco to Washington, and he was already on his way to replace me at WRC. My instructions were to be in San Francisco as quickly as possible, and that my flight from Dulles Airport in Washington had already been booked for me, and I was to be there in 90 minutes. Well, somehow I made it, arrived in San Francisco at the crack of dawn on April 2nd, after a long layover in Dallas that night, in the middle of the night. The station NBC owned in San Francisco was KNBR. It's sort of an MOR music station. They also had an FM using the NBC 24-hour news service. It was KNAI. That stood for News and Information. And by the way, just imagine, 1976, an all-news station on FM, unheard of anywhere. FM was for music. Everybody knew that. Well, anyway, I walked into the door at KNBR that was on the fifth floor of the building and found the chief engineer, John Cameron, beside himself with fatigue. You see, the strike had started at 12.01 a.m. on April 1st, Eastern Time. So it had started at KNBR at 9 p.m. on March 31st. The poor guy had been all by himself there since then, and he stayed with me, but he was asleep mere minutes after saying hello and making sure that I was okay on their control board, too. So there I was doing studio control on a familiar but mislabeled, I'll have to tell you, control board, playing music on cartridge tapes. That was something I had never done or seen before. In Trenton, we played records on the air instead of tapes or anything. I made a few mistakes, but the announcing staff was really tremendous, particularly under those circumstances. The worst part of that first few days, which then grew into weeks, was playing the unfamiliar popular music that, honestly, I did not really enjoy. Rock and roll, disco. Remember, I grew up in the big band era. That was awful stuff. Oh, goodness. By Sunday, though, another engineer from the RCA plant just outside of Pittsburgh arrived, so we were able to split the day between the three of us. John Cameron, again the chief engineer, got some sleep and turned out to be a wonderful guy to work with. Cameron pointed out that one of the all-news staff over on the FM side refused to cross a picket line. So I once again used my stage name and gave weather reports on KNAI. But I refused to give the call letters as part of that because I found I couldn't say them quickly enough to satisfy the format. You try saying K-N-A-I clearly and quickly. Good luck. Well, anyway, over the next few weeks, I got to like some of the music they were playing on KNBR. And at night, one night anyway, the call screener for our night talk show host became ill. So I began screening calls from all over the West Coast, from Alaska to Mexico, for our night talk show host. The KNBR, by the way, operates with one tower, but it's located right against San Francisco Bay, so its 50,000-watt signal goes mostly north and south. Our night talk show host was Ed Bush. He left the Bay Area later in 1976 and wound up in the Dallas-Fort Worth market, as best I recall. Anyway, I found his program deathly dull, but he had a wonderful Labrador retriever who would come into the control room where I was screening Ed's calls, and we grew quite attached to each other. Poor Ed, we were the originating station for the Oakland Athletics baseball broadcast, so Ed would often have to wait for the game to end, sometimes late at night. I have another story about that sometime, Connie, one of many that relate to the mistakes we strike makers made. It's funny now, but it sure wasn't at the time it happened. But then on May 24th, 1976, I came into the studio as usual. Remember now, that was fully, 7 weeks after the strike had started, only to find the station manager waiting for me with a police officer. The manager stuck out his hand, shook mine vigorously, and said, "John, this officer will escort you down the back stairs. Don't take the elevator. Five flights, remember. To a police car," he said, "and he'll take you to the airport. The strike has ended, and trust me, you do not want to be here in this studio one more minute." I didn't even get to say goodbye to John Cameron. And Connie, that's my tale about the NABET strike of 1976. And Fred, thanks for the time to tell it.
John, it's good to hear you on the Musings line. Thanks for calling in. That's a great story. Tim, I'm going to make this very quick because we're kind of short on time, but I had no interest in getting into broadcasting at age 15. Yeah, age 15 it was. I have a brother who is 13 years my senior, and he worked in Toledo Radio at the time and also had a little radio station in the basement of our home, and him and his buddies would broadcast to the neighborhood. Mom wanted me to become a dentist because she said there was money to be made in dental disease. And Dad wanted me to work at the family delicatessen and grocery store. I had other ideas. I like to work with my mind and my hands and design things and build stuff. So I kind of thought, I'm going to work for like RCA or Gates or Harris, and I'm going to design like audio consoles or pieces of equipment. Well, as it so happens, I found out about a job working at a radio station. And it was a janitorial job. Mom had to drive me out to this little radio station, which was about 18 miles to the west of Toledo, Ohio. It was an FM station. It was mono, and it played what they call progressive rock, which another term might be stoner music. They played Steppenwolf and all the album tracks, and all the DJs were, well, as Mom would say, hippies. So I had this janitor job at the radio station where I'd empty out the trash cans and wipe whatever substances off the tables I'd find. And I was working there one night, and a song kind of ended, and I heard the familiar shh, shh, shh of the end of a record, you know, as it comes to the end of the groove. And I walked in the control room, and there's the fellow just kind of staring at the VU meter. I walked over and I said, "Jim, are you okay?" He doesn't answer me. "Jim, are you okay?" I put my finger under his nose, and he's breathing. I don't know what's going on. So I called up the general manager, and the general manager quite frankly said, "He must have taken some mescaline or some LSD. Just wheel him over into the corner, and I'll be there in just a few moments. Oh, get on the air and do something." So I did what I was told. I got on the air. After about 45 minutes, I realized, you know, this isn't so hard. I can do this. About an hour and a half later, the general manager finally showed up from his party and somehow got Jim revived and took him away, and Jim was okay, but he never recalled anything of that night. I worked at that radio station as a janitor and then also spun some records and did the Sunday morning public service stuff for a couple more years, until a job opened up in Toledo, actually Ottawa Hills, Ohio, at a FM station, WMHE 92.5. You basically played MOR music, but the station actually made its money as the Muzak affiliate in town. But it was a good job for $1.60 an hour, and I actually got a raise to $1.65 because I was the only guy that would take a 12-hour shift twice, you know, on Saturday and on Sunday. And from that little mono FM station that played the Muzak on its sub-channel, I bumped around the Toledo market at various rock and roll radio stations, and then took off as the proverbial radio gypsy to several markets, working in some rather large markets. Almost died in the New Mexico desert. That's a whole nother story to tell you sometime. But that kind of changed my path from being a DJ and going into engineering. But I stayed in radio until about 1985. Kind of a interesting year for me. I was working in radio in Detroit, Michigan. Did not like the commute to the city. It was an hour and a half drive to the radio station, and I really didn't like it. And a job opened up in Lima, Ohio, in television. So I snapped that up. And about the same time, I also started the DX Audio Service. So there you have it, Tim. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
The following is courtesy of Radio World Online. We Help Move Time Through the Air by John Lowe, the manager of the National Institute of Standards and Technology radio stations WWV, WWVH, and WWVB. While radio station WWVB may be familiar to listeners of this publication, most people would not recognize those call letters. However, if you say you have an atomic clock hanging on the wall of your house, most everyone would know what you meant. Of course, it's not a real atomic clock, but a radio-controlled device that receives the WWVB signal and corrects itself nightly when the 60 kHz signal propagates the best. The antenna towers of WWVB are located in Fort Collins, Colorado. In July 1956, the National Bureau of Standards started radio station KK2XEI in Boulder, Colorado. It was a 2 kilowatt transmitter sending a 60 kHz signal into the summer sky. Even though the effective radiated power was less than 2 watts, the signal was received and monitored at Harvard University in Massachusetts. This experiment showed that the frequency error due to the Doppler shift induced by the ionosphere was small. This was the forerunner of the WWVB broadcast. In April 1960, another experiment was conducted in the foothills of the mountains west of Boulder. A valley span antenna 3,400 feet long was strung near the old mining town of Sunset. The signal was broadcast with less than 15 watts of power, yet it was consistently observed in New Zealand. Results from the Sunset experiment provided a much better understanding of the ionosphere and the study of whistlers, hiss, the dawn chorus, and spherics. This set the stage for the WWVB radio station. Construction began in 1962 on a site north of Fort Collins, Colorado, near the small town of Wellington. The 390-acre site was chosen in part for its high ground conductivity, a result of the high alkalinity of the soil. On July 5, 1963, WWVB began broadcasting a 7-kilowatt signal at 60 kHz. In August of that year, its sister station, WWVL, began broadcasting a 500-watt signal at 20 kilohertz. On July 1, 1965, WWVB added a time code to the broadcast. The binary-coded decimal time code transmitted 1 bit per second by shifting the power of the carrier by 10 dB. Over the next few years, improvements were made to increase the power up to approximately 13 kilowatts, and it remained there until the late 1990s. In 1972, the WWVL broadcast was terminated, and its antenna became the rarely used WWVB backup antenna. Each antenna is a top-loaded dipole consisting of four 122-meter, that's 400-foot, towers arranged in a diamond shape. Suspended between the four towers is a system of aluminum cables called a capacitance hat, or top hat. The top hat is electrically isolated from the towers but connected to a down lead at the center of the diamond. The down lead is the radiating element emanating from a helix house at ground level and also at the center of the diamond. The wavelength of a 60 kHz signal is nearly 5,000 meters. That's more than 3 miles. So the length of the radiating element plus the top hat is much less than a quarter wavelength. Therefore, the top hat is inherently capacitive, and a large inductor is added in the helix house to cancel the capacitance of the short antenna. A variometer or variable inductor is also included in the helix house to tune the antenna, which is especially useful during wind and ice loading. In 1997, work began to improve the WWVB broadcast. More powerful transmitters, the FRT-72, were acquired from U.S. Navy surplus in Virginia, Scotland, and Iceland. Extended tuning variometers were acquired from the decommissioned Navy low-frequency station NSS in Annapolis, Maryland. The WWVB broadcast was kept on the air during these upgrades by use of the old WWVL antenna. When the upgrades were complete on the WWVB side, the WWVL side was upgraded, and they were combined with WWVB into a dual broadcast system. Broadcasting from both antennas, the WWVB signal was boosted to 50 kilowatts of effective radiated power beginning in 1999. This increase in power created an explosion of new commercial radio control products, more than a million of which are sold each year. For the DX Audio Service, this is Bruce Winkleman.
Thanks, Bruce. If you remember on side one, I asked the question, why is a CD 12 centimeters in diameter and holds 75 minutes of content? 75 minutes, that's kind of an odd number. I mean, reel-to-reel tapes and cassettes are C30, C60, C90. I mean, it's a logical number. Norio Oha recently passed away. As a young man, he was an aspiring opera singer, and he wrote to Sony Corporation to complain about the quality of their tape recorders. That move changed the course of his life. The company recruited him, and he shaped the development of the compact disc and helped transform the Japanese electronic maker into a global software and entertainment empire. He recently passed away at the age of 81. So why is a CD 75 minutes in length? Simple. It was designed so it could hold Beethoven's Ninth Symphony in its entirety. We'll see you next month on the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. 73 and good DX.